Linda Jordan, I need to start with you with the question that's been on my mind for a long time. Why is suddenly everybody involved with popcorn? It's like the hottest thing. Why?
Oh my goodness. Well, first, Ann and Peter, let me say thank you so much for having me on your show. This is such an honor and a privilege. I really appreciate it. Popcorn is a really fun thing. What could be bad about popcorn? That's what we always say. Our goal in life is to spread joy, and what better way to do it than with popcorn? And popcorn is just really popular in the snack food aisle now at the grocery stores. When we first started, almost 23 years ago, there was occasionally you'd see some popcorn on the snack aisle by the chips, and you think, oh, somebody's got popcorn. And then over the next 5 to 10 years, you'd see one or two others and a lot of local brands, and now all of a sudden, popcorn is just, no pun intended, exploding on the snack food scene. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's going to have its own category, and it's around to stay. I don't think it's one of these passing fads.
Well, I've really been involved with popcorn for quite a long time. As a child, I used to help with the popcorn machines in movie houses, the theaters, because
Oh,
that's
that's
where
fun.
my father worked. But anyhow, I've just always loved it. I made it myself. I made it when you made it on an open fire. I've done the whole thing, and it's my favorite thing. But I never even thought of some of these flavors. I mean, why? First of all, your background. Have you been in the food industry for a long time?
My husband and I met in a restaurant when we were kids. I like to say we've been married just shy of 40 years. So I say back when we were kids, we, met in a little restaurant, and we've been in the food service industry one way or another all of those years. So for longer than 40, 50 years, we've been in food service. It's been a lot of fun. And that's kind of how, it kind of came naturally to just keep rolling with it.
Well, but I mean, it's a big jump to tackle the specialty food industry. There's a ton of competition, and it's a
There
hard
is.
road. It's
It is a
expensive to
very
jump
hard road.
in.
Yes. So if you want me to, I can tell you and your listeners kind of where we started and how we started down that
Please,
road.
go
Okay,
for it.
great. When years ago, we had our kids were small. We have two children. One of our oldest, his name is Noah, and then our daughter is Hannah, and we named our company after Hannah. Miss Hannah's for my popcorn company.
Oh,
And the
way.
reason we did that, we did that because we had had a business named after our son for several years. I had a preschool in my home, and we said if we ever have another business, we've got to name it after Hannah. So sometimes it was, something she's not real happy about, and then now she embraces it fully. So it's great. But we started out years ago, we had an opportunity to move, kind of made a big move, and then decided that wasn't going to work. We moved back to the Portland metro area. And then after we did that, we had a really hard time getting back into the work that we were doing.
Which
And
were? What were you doing?
food service, food sales. My husband was in food service and food sales. Myself, I had been having my preschool in my home, but we had sold our home, so now we were renting. And then a dear friend of ours, who still very good friends of ours, suggested, why don't you guys go try making popcorn? And we thought, that's kind of crazy. But then I thought, that's kind of crazy. Let's do it. So we figured it out. We literally figured it out. We said, okay, how do you make kettle corn? Well, it tastes like it has sugar in it. It tastes like it has salt. Obviously, popcorn, you got to have some oil. So we really just figured out how to make it. We called the supply house, and they said, well, it's basically this. You got to figure out your own formula, your own recipe. So we did. So we started doing festivals. Well, we started out at a little tiny mall in Salem, Oregon. That only lasted a few months in an electric kettle. They started coming into our little tiny kiosk. You know those rolling carts that you would see in the mall? That's where we started out 23
Oh
years ago.
dear.
in Salem Center Mall. And there was someone from the city came in and said, hey, can you guys do this event? We need some popcorn at this event that we're doing. We're reopening this big carousel and stuff. And so that they had redone all of the horses on the carousel. It was a big, huge event. It was so fun. We did it. My husband figured out how to do outdoor popcorn versus indoor popcorn. And from then on, we never looked back. We always popped it in a kettle with an open flame underneath. And someone standing there stirring it with a paddle. And it took several years, but about 5 or 6 years later, trips to the East Coast to try and find the biggest and best events. But we were always looking for a new event and an event where we could work on the weekends. We homeschooled our children, so we had the freedom and flexibility in our schedule to do that. And we just really enjoyed our travel time. We spent many, many years going down to Arizona. We had friends down there, and they said, hey, you got to come to this event. So a lot of our traveling was, we would go to Arizona twice a year. There would be times when that became just routine for us. We would finish up, say, a pumpkin patch in the Portland metro area, and we would, on a Sunday night, we'd get it all torn down. Maybe it was pouring down rain, because in Portland it always rains the end of October. And we'd be finishing up the pumpkin patch, and we'd throw everything in the trailer. And by Tuesday morning at 4 a.m., we were on the road to Arizona to do a 4 or 5 weekend run down there. And then we'd head home, turn around, and do it again in March. So that was our life. We did festivals and events. And eventually, you know, we started thinking it'd be really fun to have this on the grocery shelf. So we dreamt about it a lot. It didn't go quickly. It is a little trial and error. We have the process of making our popcorn with the big open flame, the big stainless steel kettle and the paddle, and that's what makes it Miss Hannah's popcorn. That's what makes it special, is that high, high heat. And a lot of times what happens is, although people are being they're very successful, but a lot of, like our competition, other people who started out in the farmers markets, they'll stop making it that way, because you can't mass produce popcorn in a kettle like that with a human standing over it, where it just takes so much, it just takes so much longer to make it, where a lot of these people who have changed from making it at farmers markets and now they have these huge brands, which we are buying from the grocery shelves, they have gone to the big industrial popping equipment and bagging equipment and all of that.
Yeah, we once interviewed a woman whose grandfather invented the first commercial popcorn making machine in Chicago. It was, I can't remember the name.
Creeders? Is it Creeders?
Yes. Creeders. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And those are wonderful machines. Yeah, we're familiar with Creeders brand. Yeah, those are wonderful machines. So it took us a long time to get the certification, the permitting, and all of that so that we could still have our propane-fired kettle inside a building, because inside the building is where the Department of Ag will certify you. So all of these things had to harmoniously come together before we could offer our popcorn out in the retail world, to the grocery stores, to the wineries, to the boutique, gift shops and things like that.
Am I remembering correctly that you started out involved with the Portland Farmers Market?
We love that market. Mm-hmm. We love that farmer's market.
It's a beautiful market. Yeah. We were some of their first vendors, and there's really big names that came out of that market. Dave's Killer Bread, we were two booths down from him when he was still putting labels. Dave was in the booth at the time. He was putting labels on his bags of bread, and I remember when he changed to pre-printed bags, just like we've recently done, is changed to pre-printed bags, and it's just it's a different feel. And Ruby Jewel ice cream, if you've ever seen Ruby Jewel ice cream in the grocery store, she's got beautiful ice cream sandwiches. I remember when she used to be sitting there in her cart with her cute little umbrella over the top. Really great. Really
great, part of the fun of all this is that we sometimes interview people when they're just the most elemental startups, and then mm-hmm. they become a big brand, and then we interview them like then and now, and it's so exciting to see.
It's so fun to see them all grow. And Portland, as you said earlier, Portland is just definitely a foodie town. And there's just been a lot of really great food that comes out of it. And we have a really wonderful food innovation center through Oregon State University.
And wait, we interviewed that woman, the administrator of that.
Yeah,
who?
She's wonderful. Her name is Sarah Massoni, and she is the one.
Yes.
I don't remember what her nickname is exactly, but the $1 million palette or the $5 million palette or something like that. She's helped us with a couple of our flavors. She's great.
I think so too.
The amazing thing to me was the packaging. You get a hell of a lot of popcorn in one of your packages.
Well, it's fun. We, you know,
it's
what's
black,
funny
it's
about
black,
popcorn?
It's black on the. It's black on the. It's the box is. Imagine this. It's black on the outside. It's black on the inside. The packaging is really delightful looking. And
thank
and
you.
You start eating, and you can't stop.
Yeah, Peter picked out something awful. I mean, it's embarrassing if I could tell you how much he's gone through.
I don't even like popcorn.
Oh, that is the best compliment we could ever receive. You know, there was a time at an event down in Arizona. I remember the people specifically. We have done thousands of events, but I remember this scene specifically. This one man was saying, "I don't like kettle corn." I said, "Well, do you want to try it? It's kind of fun." And he goes, "No." And his wife says, "You should try it. You should try it." He tried it. He said, "I don't even like popcorn, let alone kettle corn. And I'm going to buy 4 bags of that. That is amazing." And so we use that story when people say they don't like it. Yeah. Oh, that is such a compliment. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Well, how many total flavors do you have?
Oh, goodness. I would say we have 18 in the store every day. And we have rotating anywhere from 1 to 5, depending upon the season, of our seasonal flavors. And, of course, the seasonal flavors are what really get the numbers up. So I would say, I mean, flavors that we are happy with that we have sold over 45, 50, for sure. And we can, I mean, I can throw some garlic and, you know, some hot sauce on popcorn and call it a flavor, but that's not something that we would have necessarily sold in our store. So in our stores, we have on average 20 and maybe 20, 22 or 23 in there every day for sale.
Yeah,
and then they'll
rotate. Some really, I mean, what inspires you to do these flavors? You say you get a lot of feedback of what people want.
Mm-hmm, we do. So if we're looking at just trying to find, we're a dry product, so most of what we use is dried, right? There are some items that we use in our formulations that are liquid or wet or something like that, that we've created a process that will work with that we can get the flavors to all work together and not end up with soggy popcorn. It's something that it's a procedure that we protect with our life. And, but it really does help to create these different flavors. So when we're looking for, say I'm looking for some freeze-dried dill seasoning or something, there might be something else on this website that I've discovered, oh, there's freeze-dried pineapple, or there's some gummy bears that are, you know, a little bit more chewy than regular. And so those, or maybe how can I make a gummy bear flavor, that kind of thing. That will pique our interest. So that's, and sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. Or a customer one time asked us to make, people have asked us to make s'mores before. And so Hannah did a thing on Instagram, like brackets, like you would when you're doing, you know, semifinals and finals of, like, you know, soccer brackets and, you know, sports and all that stuff. But she said it boiled down to like a couple of different drizzled flavors, a couple of peppermint flavors. And we eventually got down to everybody's favorite flavor was s'mores. And before this time, we said, we'll never make s'mores. It'll be too much time, too much labor, you know, so
you
many
did
ingredients.
It, did you?
We did it. We did it one time. We had it for about a month, and we said, we'll never do it again. There, it's delicious, but because we hand do everything, it was just way too labor intensive. I think we probably lost money on it. But it had freeze-dried marshmallows in it, chocolate drizzle, broken
bread. Oh, yeah,
we
did have that.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Well,
yeah, one of our very popular. Everybody loves that.
Has s'mores. So, I mean, the one I haven't tasted that I want to taste is the pickle one.
Did I send you some, right?
Yeah.
What?
The pickle? Did I send you some pickles and popcorn?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I want to taste that.
Open it up right now and taste it. It's a good one.
I started with the chocolate. And Anne's going to start
all of
with
our
it.
You're gonna
see, if I read that, I don't have a sweet tooth. And if I just read what was in that, I wouldn't have liked it. But I tasted it, and I got hooked on it, the chocolate. I was shocked.
It's guitar chocolate. It's good chocolate. We don't mess around. Yeah.
Well,
every
you really must have flavors. You must have a very sophisticated palate, though, to perfect all these different flavors.
Well, I think it's the combination of we bring in all the members of the family get to taste it and see if we all like it. Our rule of thumb used to be, it's not as much this anymore, but when we create a new flavor, unless we eat the whole bag or we're willing to, it probably isn't going to make it to the shelf. So that was what it was with our strawberry balsamic when we started that. We couldn't decide if we wanted it sweet or savory as the base. And we ended up with sweet because my husband and I sat down to a movie and we devoured the entire bag. And he's not a big, like, he likes popcorn, but he'd rather have a bowl of salted popcorn. So like buttery salt or something with a little bit of candy in it, maybe some, like you would at the movie theater kind of thing. But every single one of our flavors has a story. That pickles and popcorn, Hannah and I were on a road trip. We were in Nashville at a farmer's market. We always stopped by the popcorn booth or the popcorn shop. And some guy had dill pickle popcorn, and we bought a bag, and we looked at each other, and we got to figure out how to make that. So came home and figured it out. There are a lot of fun flavors. The sea salted brulee is amazing. It's raw sugar, crushed sea salt, and vanilla. We created that one because there was an event up in Seattle, Seafood Festival in Ballard, and they didn't want us to do kettle corn because they already had a kettle corn guy, and we thought, we can't go without having a sweet and salty, so we made sea salted brulee. We used organic sugars, and pink Himalayan salt is wonderful. Yeah.
You're very particular about the health aspect of what you're putting into it. I read that somewhere.
Yeah, and it's also not a product that people are going to eat every single day. I mean, some people do, but it's not like it's your, always on your table. It's a snack. It's a treat. So we also are going to the flavor is the most important thing, and then we move down to, what can we do? How can we change this oil? How can we do that? Can we get a true berry instead of an artificial berry? We do have our Tutti Frutti, which is, something we've had since year 2.
It's pretty. The Tutti Frutti is
pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
And people love it. If we were to do an organic version of that, people would say, where's my Tutti Frutti? I want my Tutti Frutti back. So we would add in an organic, one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really, a real adventure for you two to do this together, huh?
It has been. My husband and I ran it for 15 years doing the festivals and events. And then our daughter graduated from college. Hannah, what year was it? Oh, I can't even remember anymore. But she graduated college in 15. And about 2016-17, she's been working for us for about a year in 17-18. And then she said, I am going to be doing popcorn. Popcorn is where I'm supposed to be. I'm being led to do this.
Really?
I need to do this. I will be here for you. And I thought, wow, I really didn't see that. I saw you doing these other things, and don't do it, because you think I can't figure certain things out. I wanted her to know, you do not have to do this. She goes, no, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so she went and she worked really hard for a year and a half or so. And then she said, I have learned everything I can possibly learn about this business and about business in general. I have to go get my master's. So she went and did an adult degree program, which took 2 years. It was one class at a time. So she was still able to work through George Fox University. She got her master's in business in 2020.
Wow.
She was one of those, master's graduates that didn't get to have a graduation because it was, you know, December of 2020 and
everything kept
getting canceled. Yeah, but that didn't stop her from learning everything she needed to learn. And she was able to put, she has been able to put so many systems in place and brought us more current. There were just a lot of things that my husband and I didn't really innately understand how to do and put all these new systems in place, like payroll systems and just scheduling systems and things like that. But it's even more in-depth now. Hannah is one of the smartest people I know. I've always thought that about her since she was a little girl. And now she has turned the corner with Miss Hannah's. And during 2020, we had already had a shop in 2016, and that's where Hannah was helping us a lot. We were doing some events, but then during 2020, you know, all the events ended. Nobody was out doing any art or street fairs of any kind,
right, yeah.
Farmers markets, none of that stuff. And so that was all over for us. And the good thing was I had already gotten our certification from the Department of Ag. We had a certified kitchen that we were working out of, and we were able to, get a couple of the UPC codes really freaked me out. I couldn't figure out how to make that happen, and now I can just whip out a UPC code through, you know, the website in 2 seconds. But at the time, it was overwhelming. And we were able
It is. I mean, people who start out, well, they have a great idea, but the actual implementation of your great idea is very complicated and demanding. And a lot of people just lose steam with their idea.
And thank you for recognizing that. And so when you see somebody out there who has a new product and maybe they just have one type of cinnamon honey butter or something like that, and you're like, I know how much work went into getting that label done. You've got to figure out how to do the UPC code. You've got to get all your nutrition facts. You've got to get your nutrition panel. You've got to have everything on your label has to be exactly what the Department of Agriculture, USDA, wants on it. So we have to put the word popcorn on our buttery salt popcorn. It has to be buttery salt flavored popcorn. Even though our label is right above it and our logo is right above it that says Miss Hannah's Gourmet Popcorn Company, my sea salted brulee has to be sea salted brulee, raw sugar, crushed sea salt, and vanilla popcorn. So there are certain criteria that has to be on your bag that we spent the rest of 2020 figuring out how we could simplify things, finally started making things happen as far as not being afraid anymore to call, you know, the cute little gift shop down the street. Hey, would you like to carry my popcorn? You know, and then we got a second shop here in our little town of Newburgh, moved our production kitchen over there in November of 2020. And as soon as we put our sign up on the highway, as people were headed for the beach, because we're about 90 miles from the beach on the West Coast, and then on the way out to the beach is our Willamette Valley wine country. And so
we love Oregon wines, by the way.
You got to come out. You got to come out for a visit. There's some beautiful
We've done a lot of traveling around Oregon.
That's fantastic.
In fact, I had a cousin who married a former Miss Oregon.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
They're
great.
Divorced, unfortunately. That didn't work out. The wedding was
too bad.
Fun.
I mean, but I remember the wedding.
Yeah, I remember the wedding, but they're divorced now.
Yeah. I remember years ago, like, thinking of, you know, weddings, and people wanted popcorn at their weddings. there were, you know, write-ups about popcorn and wine pairings, and now it just blows my mind how much popcorn is sold just through our little winery.
Well, I'm glad you noticed it, too, because I was beginning to think I was just paying too much attention, you know, I mean, and making stuff up, but it's no, it's everywhere, I know.
Yeah, it's
well, listen,
really
we have one last thing to now that we have everybody enticed to driving your popcorn, how do they lay hands on it? How do they get it?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, obviously, you can pick it up at our shops if you're in the Portland metro area in Oregon, or you can absolutely find it on our website at MissHannahsPopcorn.com.
Great.
We're always
and so you do e-commerce
on
too.
Instagram. Pardon me, e-commerce.
You
yes,
do
our,
you do e-commerce as well.
That's where our e-commerce will you will get to our store there at MissHannahsPopcorn.com.
Have you ever thought of making eggplant flavored popcorn?
Wow,
nobody's done that yet.
Wow.
Nobody's ever done that. I mean, it was kind of like a joke between me and my husband. I said that everybody makes things, because I have no sweet tooth, so everyone makes all these different flavors, and nobody makes things in the flavors I like food, like eggplant.
Yeah.
don't listen to her. Do.
I think of eggplant as a carrier for a flavor.
Oh, so this has been so much fun, Linda.
Question. What's your favorite flavor? You said you like savory. So of the ones that I sent you, what's your favorite flavor?
Oh, I haven't had all of them yet. I'm looking forward to the pickle one. That's the one that...
Yes, if you haven't... That's awesome.
I'm trying to think of which I've really enjoyed a lot. I mean, Peter usually opens it. And opens them at different flavors, and then I jump in. And so that's how I got to the chocolate one, which if I had to bet on it, I would have told you I hated it if I didn't taste it.
And I
loved it.
I will answer your question directly.
Yes, please. Okay.
She didn't really answer your question. And the real answer is the chocolate.
That's our number one seller. It's amazing. We hand drizzle that chocolate with a slotted spoon.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
I couldn't put it down. I just said I could not put it down. And I'm still going.
That was the biggest surprise. You know, we got a lot of surprises with people sending samples, but that one was biggest surprise that I liked it. I mean,
That's so great.
In fact,
that's
I liked
so
it
great.
So much. Really liked it. So I'm not sure if there's any of that left. Is there rest? I don't know. Well,
I've been trying to get Hannah to do one that's that exact chocolate, but without the salt and with a smoky chipotle powder on it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
She's like, nobody's going to like that, Mom. I do. I'm so glad that you...
We'll try it. We'll try it. If you get her to do it, we'll try it.
All right.
This has been so much fun, Linda. I think you're having a good time also in general doing your business and I'm happy for you in that regard, happy that your daughter's involved. It seems like the happiest story. I'm so glad we did this interview. Thank you very much for everything.
You're welcome.
And keep having fun and keep having success.
Thank you. That's our goal every day, is that even if you buy popcorn in our store or buy popcorn on our website, the way we package it, whatever it is, that if you walk in, you can't understand why, but you feel like you just got a big warm hug and you walk out the door skipping with your bag of popcorn. So that's the goal. If you can imagine that, paint yourself a little picture of what that looks like, and that's just our goal every day, that everyone would feel loved and appreciated and just happy when they leave our leave our shops or open their box of popcorn when they receive it after ordering it online. So
you're wonderful. Okay, keep us informed of what you're doing next.
All right. Okay, you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.